It's live, expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB. Brought to you by Mark Tytel with Realty First.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show. I'm here every Sunday, live from 11 to 1 on News Talk WSB, talking to you about your real estate and the money that goes around real estate, because what else would we be talking about? We are still in a real estate depression. And as you can hear, I still have my cold from a few weeks ago. Our number, 404-872-0750, or if you'd like me to pay for your call today, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I know we have a lot of listeners online, and I am going to be, as I do each week, tweeting during the show. If you're not following me already, you're going to want to follow me on Twitter, because otherwise you're going to miss half of the conversation today. It is amazing what I learn online every week. So my Twitter account is at the at sign Glink, G-L-I-N-K. And then while you're online, you might as well check out thinkglink.com, which is my website, T-H-I-N-K-G-L-I-N-K.com, because there is nothing more important than your single biggest asset. And if you are a homeowner, or you want to be a homeowner, there's nothing bigger that you own than your house. It may not be a good performing asset at the moment, but it is your biggest asset. And for most Americans, your house becomes the foundation of your personal finances. It becomes the foundation of your net worth, the foundation of all things that come forward from your finances. It is the gold part of the golden retirement. It is everything that you want it to be. And right now, it isn't performing very well. And so that's what we're talking about on today's show. 404-872-0750. I want to start with something that I heard this week, and I was absolutely incredulous. Now, I'm not going to name names, because it could be any of your financial institutions. It could be the place that I have my money. It could be the place that you have your money, or your father has his money, or your mother, or your brother, or your sister. All of the financial institutions do this, the big financial investment houses. So I'm out yesterday working out, and there's this guy I see every week or two, and he's a lawyer, and he's done very, very well for himself. Guy's got a private plane. You know what we think about private planes, but I digress. Anyway, he starts telling me about his financial investment company and one of the sheets, this newsletter that he gets, and he said, "Can you believe this, Elise?" He says, "They told me in this sheet," now remember, he's a lawyer, so he actually does read the fine print, "that there is a 100% chance, based on historical data, that I'm going to earn, my stock market portfolio is going to earn 25% this coming year. 100% chance." I like just started to laugh. And I said, "Steve," his name's Steve, like, "Steve, you can't believe everything you hear." And I thought to myself, and we continued working out, and he actually pulled it out of his pocket so I could see. And sure enough, this financial institution, I couldn't believe it. They were telling him in this letter, and everybody else who got the letter, and trust me, millions of people got this letter, that based on the historical data, there's a 100% chance that the stock market will go up 25% next year. You can't believe everything you hear. You can't believe everything you read. You just can't. I don't want you buying into it. I do not want you getting carried away. The whole point of that letter was to say to you, pony up, you're underinvested in equities, give me your money, because you know what? On a historical basis, going back 100 years, it's going to be worth 25% more next year. And I'm like, wake up. What do you think? This is the 90s when everybody, no matter who you are, put money in the stock market and it all returned 25% a year? Really? you can't believe everything you hear. And this goes, so this is just the latest example, and I was laughing all the way through my treadmill, right? Treadmills can be a little boring, but I was absolutely chuckling to myself. You can't believe everything you hear. You can't believe everything you read. How does this translate to real estate? Looking back over the last couple of weeks, we're watching interest rates go down. In fact, on a little info pod later on this hour, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how you know when it's time to refinance. I've got four rules. If you don't, if the four rules don't apply, you're not going to be refinancing. Simple as that. But I have talked to so many people this week who are like, oh, Elise, interest rates are down again. This is amazing. The economy is coming back. Everything's going on. You know, interest rates are down. My housing prices are going to start going back up. And I'm like, dude, take a breath. Sit down. Interest rates don't go up. Interest rates don't go down when the economy is getting better. Interest rates don't go down when the world economy is getting better. Why? Interest rates go down when everybody around the world is so freaked out that they don't know where else to go, and so they go to the United States. That's it. They go to some place so simple and easy and foolproof that they know that they're going to be okay. That's as simple as it is. They don't go anywhere else. And so if you think that mortgage interest rates going down are good for the economy, I'm here to tell you, no. You can't believe what you're hearing. The fact that mortgage interest rates hit another low is not a good sign. It's just not. And sure enough, this morning, I open up my New York Times, and what do I see? But Spain has accepted a $125 billion bailout. That's it. I mean, it's not a good sign. It's not a good sign. You can't believe everything you hear. All right. So if you can't believe everything you hear, you have to start being a skeptic. You have to be like me. You have to be a journalist, right? I don't want you getting caught. I don't want you buying into things that you haven't really thought through for yourself. I don't want you getting carried away. And I'd love to be wrong. But what I said last week holds true. We are heading into a recession, and I don't want you getting caught. I'm worried about you. I'm worried about me. I'm not worried about Clark Howard. But I am worried about you, and I am worried about me. And as I look out there, there is no way that I would ever lead you wrong. I hope I'm wrong, just because sometimes you can't foretell the future. But it is so important to be thoughtful about where we're going, about where you're going, and how you're going to get there. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. Lines are wide open. For those of you who wrote to me this week and said, Elise, the lines are always busy, there's a couple of them open right now. So if you've got a question, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Let's go to the phones. Gavin joins us on the line from Peachtree City. Hi, Gavin.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing today?
Doing well. I'm a recent graduate, and I'm working over in a law firm as like an internal paralegal, and I'm thinking about buying some trailers and renting them out. And I was wondering whether or not you thought I should try to mortgage them for very cheap and have a make a profit over the rent, or should I just buy it outright, or how should I go about this? And so, is this a smart idea?
This is a really interesting question. So let's go up to 30,000 feet and tell me, why is it that you thought about this, about getting in and starting your real estate career this way, rather than buying a condo in Midtown? Like we heard last week, some of our callers are buying condos for $20,000, $30,000, renting them out for a profit from the get-go. Why this?
Well, it's actually very interesting. For all the people who are Anti-video games.
Anti-video games. Okay, I'm going to like this answer. I know it.
So there's a video game. I don't know if I'm allowed to say what the name is.
Go for it.
It's called Fable. And,
okay.
Yeah, and you start out, of course, you're killing monsters and doing the role-playing stuff. There's all this aspect where you can buy and buy stuff, like swords or whatever, and one thing you can do is buy real estate.
Okay, and, so somebody who's designing this program is like a frustrated real estate agent, or maybe a frustrated Donald Trump. I don't know.
So it's like there's these different villages with really small, essentially like little trailers that everyone lives out of. And they're like sort of gypsy type people, and then it goes all the way up to castles. And so I learned something by doing this is that starting out small and then slowly, like I literally bought every single real estate in the entire game. This is like a map, probably the biggest is maybe the state of Georgia or something.
Okay.
And the way I did it was I just simply started out very small in these trailers. I would buy one trailer and the other, and then it would just simply compound on itself. And then you even had a little job that you worked.
I love this. So you're playing this video game, and I have to say, there's some video games that I Call of Duty, which I in our house is referred to as Call of Death, that I think are kind of a waste. But I'm liking this. It's reminding me of some of the video games that we had our kids buy when they were little, like the Sim Cities and Sim, mm-hmm. That you had to build a circus or build this or that. And it does teach you things. All right, so now you've done this and you're thinking, how hard could it be to transition to real money?
Yeah.
It's a little bit harder, but... So I like this because you feel like you're familiar with it, and it doesn't feel scary to you. And I think that one of the biggest problems you'll have is this idea that this is a scary thing. Buying real estate seems so permanent and seems so scary, and you found this way to kind of get over the fear factor, which is what I think inhibits a whole lot of people from doing or making really smart decisions. So good for you, and your parents will be thrilled to know that I think this Fable video game thing is actually a good idea. All right, so let's take a step back. Buying trailers has something that I don't know if the video game gets into, which is people who are often down on their luck. And so a lot of people have made money by buying the trailer park, and then they rent out people who bring their own trailers. And what ends up happening is the people leave the trailers die or whatever, and they bring, new people come in, and they just end up getting the trailers, and then they raise the rent, and they raise the rent. And these have been very, very profitable investments. And a good friend of mine has made, a lot of money owning several of these with his siblings. So that's one way to go. Buying the individual trailers, though, they do deteriorate quickly. So I'd be concerned about it being a long-term thing for you. You may want to step up to something else. I know this is familiar to you, so other things might be scary, but I want you to take this knowledge, and I want you to find a real estate agent who can help you evaluate a couple of other kinds of investments, like condos, like things that I think will have longer staying power than buying a trailer. Because if you buy a trailer, you could end up renting the space from the trailer park owner, and now you have to pay that piper while you're looking around desperately for somebody to rent a deteriorating trailer. Whereas with a condo, you will find a larger population of people who will be interested.
I see.
So I want you to switch your thought around. But it's not like you can't continue down this path. You get to do both things. So I don't know if your game allows you to do this. But I don't know if your game lets you buy condos and trailers at the exact same time. But in real life, I will let you do that. And so I want you to go find a real estate agent who can show you a bunch of different kinds of real estate and help you figure this out. And then, Gavin, I want you to call back and let me know what happens. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glank. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glank Show. We're live on Sundays, 11 to 1, here on News Talk WSB, number 404-872-0750. Let's go to the phones. Elizabeth joins us on the line from Fayetteville. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, let me just preface this by saying I know absolutely nothing about real estate.
really?
Just say that.
All right.
except for I know that my parents, unfortunately, both passed last year, and they left us, thank you, a condominium on the south side of town in a retirement community. It's paid for. There are some repairs that we need to do, carpet and painting and things like that, but we really want to get rid of it. But we know that it's probably lost about $30,000 in its value.
Elizabeth, let me jump in and say, you know, if you are concerned and stuck because of how much you can get out of it, and if you think that waiting is going to get you to a place where it doesn't matter because you're going to have, you know, a huge growth over the next 5 years, let me reset your expectations. This thing is paid off. Get it fixed up as inexpensively as you can and sell it as quickly as you can. Because I can't guarantee that this thing isn't going to be worth less in another year than it is today. Get rid of it. Let it go. Say goodbye. It's the best thing that you can do. 28 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Klang. Stay tuned. When we come back, a little bit of a mortgage minute for you. Something that I think will really help you make the decision about whether now is the time to refinance. 404-872-0750. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Klang Show. I'm live on Sundays here 11 to 1 on News Talk WSB. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station, or you can have me pay for the call. I'm happy to do it. 1-800-WSB-TALK. So, 34 minutes past the hour. It's kind of interesting. Mortgage interest rates, as I said at the top of the show, hit another new low this week. It is about the fifth low in as many weeks. And I'm kind of amazed by how mortgage interest rates have continued to drop. And they don't drop for 30-year fixed and the 15-year fixed at the same rate. You'd think they would, right? But they don't. You end up with, 1 week 30-year rates fall to a new record low, and then the next week it's the 15-year. And all of this is about people who are desperate to find some oasis of safety in this crazy mixed-up world we live in, right? They're just looking for some place to go where they're not going to lose money. It's gone to the place where nobody even wants to make money anymore. I mean, somebody asked me this week, Elise, where do you put your cash? You know, I want to be all in cash. I'm all in cash. I think the stock market's going to tank. I want to be in cash. Where do you put your cash? I'm like, there's no place to put cash. You know, you just open up a series of bank accounts and you plug cash into it and you earn, 0.36 return or whatever. But, I mean, you're just not losing money. You're not making money. Nobody's making money. So the mortgage interest rate thing is sort of interesting, though, because I do believe eventually we are going to start seeing interest rates go up. And so the lower you can lock in, the better it is. I've got four rules that you must follow if you're going to have a home run with your refinance. Because, really, I'm looking at the calls now. There's a few open lines, by the way. But the majority of the calls are always like, should I refinance? Here's my story. Here are four things to do. First of all, are you lowering the interest rate? That's the easy one, right? You know, you have 5.37% and you're going to go to 4.6% or 3.7%, or maybe you're going to do a 10-year at 2.97%, which is where it was this week. Right? That's rule number one. Can you lower the interest rate? Number two, can you pay less each month? Always good to pay less. Now, some people are refinancing because they want to pay less and stretch it out. Okay, then you're going to pay more overall. But can you pay less each month? Number two. So what's number one is, can you lower the interest rate? Number two, can you pay less each month? Number three, can you shorten the loan term? And this may be the most important test of all. If you go from a 30-year, let's say you have 26 years left and you can go to a 15-year, or you have 17 years and you go to a 10-year, or if you have a 15-year, you have 14 years left, and you can now with your refinance, or 12 years left, now you can pay it off in 8 years. Can you shorten the loan term? That's, I think, the most important one for me. And the fourth one is, can you do one, two, and three without breaking the bank in terms of the fees you have to pay? I've had people call the studio, and they said, please, I want to refinance. I have a $100,000 mortgage. They want $8,000 to refinance. No, that doesn't work for me. So, recap, can you lower the interest rate? Number two, can you lower your payments? Number three, can you shorten your loan term? Number four, can you do it all without breaking the bank? Those are the four markers that you must hit. And if you hit them all, it's a home run, baby. Just go out and refinance tomorrow, because you will win over the long run. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Daniel joins us on the line from Athens. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, how's it going?
Things are good. What about with you?
They're going great. I'm actually getting married.
Woo! When are you getting married?
In November, middle of November.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Very exciting.
Yeah, it's an exciting moment. It's just a little bit, you know, my question is I've been renting this whole time, and I've never owned a home. And
how old are you?
I'm 31.
All right. Did you know that the average age for first-time home buyership is somewhere between 31 and 32?
Did not know that.
God, isn't it great to know your right average?
it is. All of my friends pretty much already own their homes.
So did they?
You know, I've been the one lagging behind.
All right.
But now that we're getting married, I see interest rates dropping, so it kind of makes me think this is a great time to buy.
It is.
But the problem with us is that we have a possibility of moving in 3 to 5 years.
Tell me, well, why might you move in 3 to 5 years? By the way, that also is sort of typical, to move out of a first home after you're married in 3 to 5 years. It's not, and your parents are like going, my son's anything but average. But seriously, 3 to 5 years is not crazy. But why is it you think that might happen for you?
Well, we'd like to start. We know for sure we want to start off. And she's up in North Carolina right now. I'm down here in Athens, Georgia. So we've been distanced. But we're thinking we were going to move up there for a while just because she's in a contract right now. She's a nurse and has a 2-year contract with the hospital. And she was thinking she was going to stay up there and do nurse practitioner school.
Hmm.
So we'd be, you know, it'd be about that, you know, average time between when she gets in to when she finishes.
And what do you do?
I'm actually in printing right now.
Printing.
I'm actually changing jobs, so that's another scary moment for me. But
it sounds like you guys are a little stuck simply because you've got some big, scary things ahead of you.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And, I mean, the getting married part, it sounds like you're really settled with that, which is great.
Yeah.
But it's the rest of your life thing, right?
Yep, it sure is.
You are asking all the right questions. And I'm going to tell you that the answer is to keep renting and to not be jealous and envious of your friends who are already homeowners, because they may have bought in 2006 and 2007 and 2008, and guess what? Their homes are worth less than what they paid for them.
Right. They're now experiencing that.
So do you want that? You want that headache on top of...
That's exactly why I'm asking you.
They're looking at you, Daniel, and they're going, God, I wish I was like Daniel and renting the last 3 to 5 years. They're looking at you with the same envy you're looking at them. But I do agree that it is a great time to buy. So if you decide to buy something, and I think you have to look at it with the idea that you're going to buy this place, you guys are going to live there, and then you're going to rent it out.
Right.
So the only way this doesn't work is if you guys leave the area.
Okay.
So,
that's a good possibility.
And it is a good possibility. So 3 to 5 years, you'd have to buy some, and I think this could totally work. You buy something so cheap, right, that you're living there for less than it would cost you to rent. So that's number one. You're already ahead of the game. Number two is you can find somebody else to rent it for more than it costs you.
Right.
Because once you're living there, you know, before you buy it, I want you to spend some time thinking about and looking at apartments for rent or condos for rent or houses for rent in the area.
Okay.
And seeing what people are actually paying for them. So if you can buy for $25,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000,
mm-hmm.
and you can rent it out for $850 to $1,000 a month, done deal.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yep.
So that's the parameter, right? you could stay renting, and I would be totally good with that, right? But if you've got this itch to own a home, then it has to meet these standards. It's a little like what I just said with the mortgage, right? Refinancing your mortgage. You want a home run with mortgages, these are the four things you have to do. Well, if you want a home run here, you've got to find a place that's less expensive to own than you would pay in rent. Number two, you got to understand what it would rent out for when you're ready and look at all the costs. And number three, you got to put together your home buying team. And I'm going to be a little self-serving and tell you that on my actually it's on Amazon now, on Amazon, if you just type in my name and look under ebooks, we put up a series of ebooks on investing in real estate. It's $2.99 for the whole package of them.
Oh.
I want you to have this information. I want it to be easy for you. Just go there and buy it, because I talk about how you have to think about investment property, how you have to think about the team, the home buying team you want to put together. It's great stuff, and you are going to live there, but I know that the way this is going to really work out for you is if you're already prepared on the other side.
Right.
So that's what I want you to do. $299, I know you can make that investment, and
yeah,
if you want to,
yeah,
you can buy the my all-time favorite 100 questions every first-time homebuyer should ask for another $9 on top of that. But get the $299 ebooks, because I think it speaks to the issue you really have, and it's going to unstick you. You're stuck.
Yeah.
And this is going to get you unstuck.
Perfect.
All right?
Well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Daniel. Congratulations. I know you're going to have a really happy life. You know why? Because you're asking the right questions. So important. 404-872-0750. Kim joins us on the line from Decatur. Hi, Kim.
Hi.
How's it going?
Going good. How's it going with you?
It's good. It's good. A little allergy stuff going on today. A lot of stuff in the air. What's going on? How can I help you?
Well, I want to know if this is a good time to refinance for rental property.
So tell me about let's go back up to the top. Why do you need to refinance? When did you buy this thing? What's the interest rate? Give me the 411.
Okay, currently the interest rate is 7.1%. We're in a 30-year with 20 years left on the property, and just want to explore some of our options right now.
Is the property underwater?
No.
So you got equity?
Yes.
Yes, it's a great time to refinance your rental property.
Okay.
This is the easy answer. So, but you have to ask yourself some other kind of tougher questions, right? Which is, you know, how is it going to look to the bank? They're going to want to see your lease, make sure it's rented. They're going to want to see possibly a lease history. They're going to want to have at least 25-30% in equity in the property. If you don't have that, can you bring something to the closing? You're going to have to talk to a whole bunch of lenders and make sure. And the four things that I talked about for refinancing are only for your own mortgage of your primary residence. But when you have a rental property, I think what you should do is, you've got 20 years left on it, refinance for 20 or even 30 years. You want to keep that payment as low as possible. Not necessarily paid off, because you're writing off income against expenses. Now, you could go the other way and do a 15-year, but I think a 30-year, and then if you want to just keep paying it at the place that you were paying it, that works for me too. I just want to make sure you don't get into a situation where suddenly you're not renting the property and you've got a high cost to start every single month with that mortgage.
Right, okay.
So think about it in terms of longevity, how long you plan to own it. Try to pay as little as you can for your refinance costs. You guys know where your credit histories are? You're all good there?
Yes, we're very good.
All right. So this should be a relatively easy thing for you. Now, the only thing is, if you're trying to take out equity, they're not going to let you. I mean, you'd have to have like 80% equity in the property for them to let you take any out. So if you're thinking of refinancing to take out equity, that is probably not going to happen in a place that you would want it to. So, I think overall, though, you know, refinancing to get everything out, it just sounds like a really, really good place for you. And I think you should go for it. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Are you tweeting? We are tweeting about different callers today. Send me your tweets at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Love to hear it. All right, we have more coming up. Don't forget to pick up your latest the copy of today's Atlanta Journal-Constitution for the newspaper's continuing investigation on suspicious test scores. This Sunday, the AJC reveals how invalid scores, potentially from cheating, may harm students with special ed needs, something you can't miss. It is 10 before the hour, AM 750, and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB. Minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Kling. Thanks for joining me today on the Elise Kling Show. Our number 404-872-0750. You can also tweet me. We're online chatting today at Glink. Don't miss a minute of the conversation at GLINK. And if you're looking for some other really great information that we provide every week, you ought to check out the Equifax Finance blog. This week, they launched a whole section in Spanish. It's called Equifax.com/Espanol, and it's amazing. And my good friend Julie Staub, who's been on the show, who's an amazing stockbroker, is the face of it, and she's got a lot to say, a lot of videos. There's great information all in Spanish. So if you know somebody who would rather have this information in Spanish rather than English, check out the Equifax new Spanish page. And then don't forget to check out the finance blog for all kinds of great information that I provide on taxes and insurance and real estate and investing. Then we've got that great section called Family Finance. So really interesting information at the Equifax finance blog. 56 minutes past the hour. Let's go back to the phones. Michael joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hi, Michael.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
The show is very informative. My question was, is that I recently ran into some money, and I was wanting to buy a house straight out cash.
Okay.
And opposed to mortgage and all that. Did you have any pointers for me in that process?
Well, it's pretty easy. It's almost like you write a check, only you don't, because they don't take personal checks when you go buy real estate. But this is not a difficult thing to do. Why did you make the decision that to buy it in cash and I assume this is for investing purposes, right?
No, actually it isn't. It's to reside in.
And why do you want to use cash instead of a mortgage?
Because of the job market being so unstable, the last thing I wanted to do, like a lot of my friends and some family members, ended up losing their home because of employment. So I felt as though if I had anything to worry about, it would be just taxes to pay.
So I understand and I appreciate that. Let me give you a different perspective.
Okay.
And the perspective is that if you take this cash and you put it into real estate, I get that that seems like a really smart thing to do. And it may be. I'm not saying paying for cash with, you know, for stuff is cool. But when you have mortgage interest rates at a 50 or 60 year historic low, what you're doing, and by having your cash in the bank, is you're doing something called leverage. And leverage allows you to do a little more with the same amount. I'm not saying you should go all out and run up huge amounts of debt. I'm just saying that since you have the cash, if you ever wanted to pay off the loan, you could, because you have cash in the bank. You don't have to worry about that. Just another way to think about it. If you want to pay cash, go pay cash. Just go find an agent, go find a house, get a cashier's check and pay cash. But there is a better way. 58 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Kling. Stay tuned. We'll talk about this and more coming up next.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Kling Show. I'm here on Sunday mornings, 11 to 1, on News Talk WSB. So glad you could join us here. Just great to have you. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station, or I will be delighted to pay for the call. 1-800-WSB-TALK. If you're calling in from all over the place, you can still hear me sort of challenged with this cold after all this time. Although my doctor tells me that everybody is challenged. This has just been the worst allergy season in, you know, 20, 30, 40 years. And everybody's just a little challenged with it. So I apologize if I sound a little bit throaty today. Online, don't forget to check out thinkglink.com. I'm happy to have you join us there. Sign up for the free weekly newsletter. You will be amazed at the great information that you're getting. Absolutely. Absolutely amazed. And we're delighted to have you do that. Let's go back to, you know, the idea that we're in this amazing time to buy a house. So you would think that we have revised or rewound our lives all the way back to the early 2000s when sellers were just loving this, right? Home sellers were like, what they had was gold. I mean, you just were selling your home and, you know, prices were rising like crazy. Remember how this felt? It was like, oh, you didn't have to wonder whether or not you're going to be able to sell your place because instead you were just going to be able to make it work. You were going to be able to just sort of list your price, not do too much work to the house. There'd be a line out the door. You'd be like, oh, this is so great. Yeah, so even though I'm here to tell you that it's never been a better time to buy your house, right? Unfortunately, it's not a great time to sell. It's still not a great time to sell. And the reason that it's not a great time to sell is that there aren't enough buyers to balance out what's going on in the marketplace, right? You have the residential numbers that are awful. I mean, we're still in a housing depression as far as new construction is considered, right? There's still a foreclosure crisis. There are millions of people whose property is worth so much less than the mortgage amount. Every month, we see the total amount of the Freddie Mac bailout or Fannie Mae bailout continue to go up. We see HUD giving housing counseling agencies millions of dollars to try and help. It's not a good situation. It's just not. And so if you're trying to sell your home, you're looking out, you're saying to yourself, hey, there are all these buyers out there, mortgage interest rates, 50, 60 year low, historic low, I ought to be able to sell. And I've been waiting. See, that's the problem. You're stuck because you've been waiting for your property to either come back in value or until you feel like enough of those foreclosures have disappeared. And then you can go in and you can sell. And unfortunately, it's just not how it's working out. It's not working out the way everybody wants to work out. And I think there are four or five things that you must do if you want to sell your house this year. And if you don't do these things, if you don't pay attention, if you don't wake up, it's not going to happen for you. You're not going to be able to sell your house. And you're going to sit there, like so many of my callers, and you're going to think to yourself, well, if I just wait another year anyway, my house will be worth more. Because that is what real estate has taught you all this time. It's taught you that if you just sit there and you wait, it's going to be okay. And I'm here to tell you that it probably isn't true. In fact, I'm going to just go out and say it isn't true. Because if we head into another recession, and you know I think that's where we're heading, all bets are off. And so selling your home this year might be your last chance for 5 years. How would you feel then? What if selling your house this year is your last chance for 7 years or 3 years? What is the break point for you to get unstuck, to make a decision and get off the fence and list your house and decide what you're going to do? And I'm here to tell you there's a couple of things you must do if you want to get your house sold. Number one, you must be aware of what everybody else is selling for, and you must be realistic about that. We had a caller last week, and she's like, yeah, I understand that the other houses in my neighborhood are selling for $26,000 and $30,000, but I paid $150,000, and I pay my mortgage on time every week, every month. Why is it that my house is worth only $30,000? You can't put your head in the sand. You can't ignore the realities. You must go out, stand on your front stoop, and look around and count the foreclosures in your neighborhood and the short sales. Because when you are a buyer, you have, the first thing you're going to do is look at the foreclosures, and then you're going to look at the short sales, and then you're going to look at everybody else's houses. And we've got to get rid of all that other inventory. So number one, you must see what's going on in your neighborhood and understand the reality of it, what that means to you and your pricing, and you must be competitive. I've actually rolled like five things into that one thing, but that's number one. Number two, you must find a really aggressive real estate team to help you. Yes, you can sell on your own. When we first started, when I first started talking on the air 12, 15 years ago, I was a huge proponent of listing on your own, selling by owner. I love it. I've sold my houses that way. But sometimes you can't do that. Sometimes the market makes the decision for you, and that's the case right now. You can't sell on your own right now. It's just too hard. I mean, I guess you could get really lucky, or you could auction your property, but you're still paying a lot of money if you auction your property. Number three, you must take the responsibility of getting the word out to everybody you know. That means dropping flyers in the whole neighborhood's, you know, mailboxes. That means putting up a website, taking great photos. Yes, you're hiring an agent. Yes, the agent should do some of this for you. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. You have to make sure it gets done. If you want to sell, it's your house. Nobody is going to care about this house as much as you care about it. So you're going to have to make sure. You're going to have to do the work. And it is work. Real estate is work. I don't know where this idea just came about that real estate was like, you know, manna from heaven or trees, you know, where the leaves are just money and they grow in your backyard. I want one of those. That's number three. Number four is you can't get greedy. So let's say you do all these other things and then somebody makes an offer. Wow. And they make a pretty good offer. And let's just say that the offer is above your minimum acceptable price. That's the price at which you will take it. And I want you to write that price down, because what's going to happen is if somebody comes in even close to that price, or goes over that price, you're suddenly, that price isn't going to be good. Instead of just accepting the offer, you're going to go, oh, my property is worth more. I knew that, and Elise didn't, and I'm going to ask more, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to start the negotiation, and I'm going to, and you're going to get all wrapped up. And I'm here to tell you, that's the wrong way to go. That's the place the deals start to fall apart. Because in this economy, homes aren't going to appraise out for pie-in-the-sky values. They're just not. So you could come to some sort of negotiation, and you can call me on the phone and say, Elise, this is the market price. I'm supposed to be able, they're supposed to be able to get a mortgage based on the market price. I'm going to tell you, no. The banks are going to send out an appraiser, and if the appraiser doesn't think that based on all the other prices in the neighborhood that it's worth the money, they're not going to give the mortgage. And then you're going to be really stuck. So be reasonable. Hire a good team. Understand the local marketplace. Make sure you don't get greedy. And the last thing, right? The last thing on the list. Try to leave, create a deal and leave a property where everybody feels like they're a winner. Now, I have some people I know from Harvard Business School, and they will tell you that in a true negotiation, nobody leaves happy. Everybody thinks they've left money on the table. That's one way to go. You can do that. I don't like it. I don't like it for real estate. You know why? Because real estate is not like buying some tire-making business somewhere. It's not like buying something that you have no emotional connection to. Real estate is where you sink roots into the community. It's where you raise your children. It's where you get connected. You dig in the garden. You watch your flowers grow. It's an emotional play. And as much as we try to step back, as much as I tell you not to be objective, to not get emotionally involved with your house, you're going to get emotionally involved with your house. You know what? I am emotionally involved with my house. I love my house. I was walking in the garden this morning. I'm watering the plants, making sure I understand what's going on. I'm emotionally involved with my house. It's just what we do. And so when you're emotionally involved at your house, you don't make all kinds of smart decisions. And the tendency is to dig in and get every last $500 that you can. And it's not the right way to go. You want everybody to be happy. As happy as they're ever going to be, right? This isn't going to make everybody like super you know, I've had three cocktails happy, but it is possible to negotiate an exit for the homeowners and negotiate a buying strategy that everybody feels like they're leaving on with a good deal. And it is so much more satisfying. This is so much more what people want to do. And if you can make that happen, if you can follow these five strategies that I'm giving you, you're going to sell your house this year. You are going to be the smartest seller in your whole neighborhood, and you're going to sell, and you're going to feel good about it. And that is all I care about. I care that you feel good about your home sale. Because if you step back to the 50,000 foot level and you look down, you're going to say, wow, this really stinks. I paid this, now I can only get this, and I'm going to feel bad. And that is going to be sort of underlying current going on. And what I am trying to do is get you to a place where you minimize the pain and you maximize the satisfaction. Because if you just focus on gain and you're selling your house and you haven't lived there for 40 years, I'm not sure there is going to be a gain. So you have to focus on satisfaction. You have to understand that when you sell low, you get to buy low as well. And satisfaction is going to make all the difference in your home sale. I promise. It's 20 minutes past the hour. It's the Elise Kling Show, live on Sundays, 11 to 1. We're talking real estate. Join us on the conversation. We're going to take more of your calls coming up next. It's 404-872-0750. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more on News Talk WSB. It's 25 minutes past the hour on the Elise Kling Show. So glad you could join us here today on News Talk WSB. The number 404-872-0750. Let's jump straight into another call. Sheila joins us on the line from Lawrenceville. Hi, Sheila.
Hello.
How are you?
Well, pretty good, I guess.
Pretty good. Oh, wow. I'm preparing myself. What happened?
Well, I've worked for a business that advertised real estate. And we've been going through some trouble since early 2007, and finally I got laid off.
Oh, this week?
Last week.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So I've been kind of like going, oh, I don't know what I want to do. But I'm trying to figure out, I've got severance pay coming, I've got a roll of my 401k, I've got a lot of credit card debt because my paycheck continually got less over the last several years. My house is old, I'm doing some work on it, needs more, blah, blah, blah.
You've got a huge long list of problems.
Yeah, and I don't know, should I keep the money, should I put it in my retirement, should I pay off my credit card bills?
So is the lump
sum? Pay my bills.
All right. So is the lump sum coming to you, or this the severance, is it coming to you in the form of a lump sum for pension, or this is sort of cash? You've been with us for forever,
yes,
and
it's,
okay.
It's that cash.
So the first thing you have to look at is making yourself feel safe, because I can hear that you're scared.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe terrified is a better word. I don't know. What I want you to do, Sheila, is I want you to think very carefully about what is the scariest thing that's happening to you right now. And I want you to use the money you're getting to assuage that fear. So if it's the credit card debt, if it's mortgage payments, if it's whatever it is, start using a little bit of that money to make sure you're stable for the next month or two while you look for work, you get your unemployment, all that other stuff. And then I want you to make a very detailed list of what your expenses ongoing are going to be and what that money can do for you. Because you're not going to make any money on the money. It's just about getting you to a place where there's another job. And what I want you to do is think very carefully and use it very carefully so that it doesn't run out before you need it to. Next week, you better check in with me. I want to hear again what's going on. 28 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Kling. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
36 minutes past the hour on the Elise Kling Show. Welcome back, everybody. So glad you're joining me here today, this Sunday. Here as we always are, 11 to 1 on News Talk WSB. So let's go back to the phones and chat with some folks. Bill joins us on the line. Hey, Bill.
Hi. How are you doing, Elise?
I'm great. What's on your mind today?
Well, you earlier in the program, you said 5 or 6 points you felt were necessary to sell your house this year.
Yep.
And I used all of them.
Awesome. Did you sell?
Yes, in 60 days.
Fantastic.
From the time of listing to the time of closing.
That's great.
I added one more step.
Okay.
During the negotiation process, we had a qualified buyer. We'd even been back 4 or 5 times. They kept lowballing us. So I went and hired an appraiser.
Okay.
I then took the appraiser to my agents and had them take it to his agent, and he came in at the price within $2,000 of the appraisal. And I think that was a step that really turned it. We felt that once he saw somebody, that the price, you know, what it was worth, he would come through, and he did.
So that's really interesting, because I am often asked whether somebody should hire an appraiser, and oftentimes I say, no, it's a complete waste. And you've used it in a different way, which was to prove value.
Yeah. Well, I got him to the table. That's what I did. And
right.
I've sold 8 or 10 houses in my lifetime, and I used to be in real estate in California. So the big thing is once you start getting offers, you have to get it to the table.
Yeah. Well, I love that you were able to get it to the table. How did your price end up? I'm sure now that you know with the appraisal, did the appraisal that your appraiser did end up matching with the bank's appraiser?
They didn't get an appraiser.
They didn't. Why not?
Because they had mine, and the bank went with it.
Wow, fascinating. It's not really supposed to work quite like that.
Well, it isn't, but sometimes you have to think outside the box.
Well, I'm really glad you called the show to share, Bill. Thank you.
Okay, good. You have a good day, huh?
I will, and you do the same, and on to the next house for you. Sounds like you're doing a great job with them. 38 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB, 404-872-0750. Gloria joins us on the line from Woodstock. Gloria?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Happy to do it.
I'm calling on behalf of my daughter. She bought a home in September of 2007, so she's coming up on 5 years. When she bought the home, the bank offered her a deal that she would not have to pay the PMI if she went with this loan. But the loan is at 6.5% interest, and I'm just livid over it. I can't stand that she's paying that much. I was wondering...
So,
you know,
wait a second.
In the house,
Hold on a second. You can't stand the fact that she's paying that interest. You're the one who's calling me.
Yes.
Maybe she doesn't care.
Well, her thought is if she tried to refinance it twofold. She doesn't think she would recoup her refinancing charges quick enough, which Clark Howard says it takes, if it's more than 2 years' worth of savings, you shouldn't do it.
I don't agree with that, by the way.
Okay, and then the other thing, she's afraid she'll have to pay the PMI, and by the time she pays the PMI, then whatever savings she would get from her interest being much lower would be eaten up with the PMI. So I was going to ask you for suggestions I could present her with that might help her.
All right, so first thing is, if your daughter wants to know this stuff, your daughter should call me.
Well, I'm recording this to give to her.
I'm just telling you, Gloria. You can't do everything for her. You can record this, and you know what? Frankly, we record this show, and it goes up on the air, you know, up on in the internet a couple of days later. But she needs to step up and do the work. You can't do the work for her. So when I look at this situation, I think she's thinking about it in the right way, assuming this is how she's thinking about it or you're thinking about it. I'm just going to think it's you doing the thinking here. That's my feeling.
I'm hoping to present her with information so she can make an intelligent decision on her own.
Okay. We're going to have that conversation another time. But we're going to talk about this as if it's you, because she's, as far as I can tell, she's really not in the picture right now. It's you deciding that she has this problem. So, first of all, she bought in 2007, height of the market.
Yes.
Her property is probably way underwater.
Mm-hmm.
So she has a bigger problem than whether she can even refinance. The biggest problem is she got this special kind of a loan from her lender, so it's probably not Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, which means it's not FHA, so it's not going to qualify to under the home affordable refinance program to get reduced.
Okay.
It's just not going to qualify. And if it's one of these special loans and it's underwater, unless she's coming to the table with $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 to make it whole again, nobody else is going to refinance her. So you could be livid about her paying 6.5% interest, but where were you in 2007 when she got this cockamamie loan and she didn't actually think through what this would mean if property prices ever went down?
At that time, the interest rate with competitors was about the same.
Yeah,
but the time that she bought, so she didn't really pay.
And I'm here to tell you that's not true. In 2007, she could have done a little bit better than that, because mortgage interest rates were actually in the upper 5% range. She got a special loan, and she paid for the privilege of that special loan. But now she's stuck. And she's stuck because she thought that she wasn't going to have to pay PMI. Well, all they did was wrap PMI into the total package. She got hoodwinked. So her, I hate to say this, Gloria, but she has very limited to no options right now. Because unless her loan is Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac or FHA, she's not going to qualify to refinance if she's underwater. So now she has to think about coming to the table with enough cash to be in the black. And I don't know how much that is. Maybe you don't even know how much that is.
I would think that she might be underwater. When she did buy the house, it was a foreclosure, so that helped her some.
Property prices have gone down 30%, 40%, 50%, 60% from that level in some neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Even the foreclosures today are underwater. So you're going to have to go back to her with this videotape or audio tape or whatever you're taping this on, and you're going to have to say, dear, you might be stuck because you made a choice back then that you thought was smart, but it really wasn't so smart. And if she was getting PMI, I don't know if that meant that she only had 5% down or 3% down, or she did 100% loan when she bought it. And that's why her interest rate was so high. But her interest rate tells me that that was not a straightforward loan with 20% down. So she's going to be stuck. And I'm, I can't fix people like this. I can't fix your daughter at the moment because she has made choices for herself, and now she's going to have to do the investigation and come out of it. But there are no easy answers here. And when Clark says you have to be able to pay off the refinance in 2 years, blah, 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 I don't necessarily think that's true. But in her case, I'm not sure she can even get a refinance. In fact, I'm pretty sure she can't. And there are a lot of people who are in exactly the same position right now. 44 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phones. Dee Dee joins us on the line. Hey, Dee Dee.
Hi.
Hi.
I really like your show. I don't know why I'm sitting here on Sunday morning, but every morning I make sure that I'm listening to you because you have so much great information.
Thank you. I am so happy to have you sitting here every Sunday morning listening.
Thank you. But I want to ask you a question. I'm involved in a for sale by owner, and this house, I was wondering, what is the legal rate of interest on a for sale by owner?
I don't really understand the question. I mean, in Georgia, the maximum interest rate you can charge somebody is like 28%. So, I don't know what you mean by that. Try and explain it again.
Okay. I'm involved in this for sale by owner.
Are you the owner of the property?
Yes.
Okay. And or are you the buyer of the property?
I'm the owner.
You own the property. And you're trying to sell the property and they want you to hold back the mortgage?
Yes.
Ah. Okay. They want you to be the bank.
Right. But I want to be fair and do it legally.
So
that's
have you?
I want to quit the interest rate.
Okay, well, you could go as high as 28%, but I don't advise it. That's not really competitive right now. Although it would be awfully nice to have a 28% interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Dee Dee, have you checked their credit?
That is what I'm in the process of doing right now.
Because I'm worried that they want you to be the bank. Why do they want you to be the bank? Is it because they don't have the credit? They don't have the right amount of, you know, the credit history isn't good. The credit score isn't high enough. They have too much debt. They're deadbeats. You know, they're drug addicts. They're just putting, you know, they're really moving and they're just trying to, you know, rip stuff. I mean, what is going on with this that they can't go out and get a real mortgage?
I would say all of the above, except I'm not sure that there's a drug that drugs are involved. But
okay.
Everything else pans out perfectly.
So,
but this is a piece of garbage that I couldn't get rid of because it had been, the copper thieves had been in, and since this is a 30s house, you know, the cement and all that stuff came down, and they took everything. They took the wiring even off of the appliances, the toaster, the chafing dish, everything.
God, that's just awful. So mm-hmm. Did you have insurance? Has that have you replaced all of this or not?
No, I have not replaced it.
Okay, so what are you doing? You're just getting rid of the shell of the home?
Just getting rid of it, and he seems to be happy to get it. He's gone in, and, you know, I wouldn't let him go in until we had a contract.
All right.
But
you...
now that we have a contract, I told him, you know, how much he had to give me down before we could close it.
And how much did you ask for?
$1,000.
That's it? And how much are you selling the property for?
$10,000.
Okay. You know, one reason they can't get a loan is it's $10,000.
Uh-huh.
So I get that. He's given you $1,000, and what happens if he just doesn't fix up the house? What if he just walks away from it?
Well,
you're going to have to foreclose on this property.
Well, I'll tell you what. I came across something, and this is really weird. I came across some information that I picked up in a book at the one new seminar thing. At the church's yard sale, and it said that, you know, it gave me a couple of ideas, and that was that we could make it a wraparound loan where the important thing is to have, if you're going to do this, is to draw up two deeds. One is a deed for the property, which whatever kind of deed it is.
Okay, let me stop you right here. This is a bad idea. Here's what I want you to do.
Okay.
Go hire a real estate attorney.
Okay.
Sell the property as an installment sale.
Right.
You will transfer over the deed when they make the last payment. That way you protect yourself. You still own the property.
Okay.
I think this could be a scam, and I don't want you to get hurt. So what I want you to do is you must go find a real estate attorney tomorrow. When you find that real estate attorney, and you can find one through the Atlanta Bar Association. Okay?
Okay.
Get one and tell them you want to do... Elise said that I may want to do an installment sale unless they have a better idea and how to protect me. Okay? So you go, installment sale, talk to the real estate attorney. That's basically when you're going to sell the house piece by piece, and when they're done making the payments, you give them the deed. But
for for the whole amount.
The $10,000.
Oh,
I don't want.
I don't want
you getting in trouble here. I don't want you putting yourself out, and now you got to chase him down, and they're going to steal the rest of the stuff from you. I would rather see you get $5,000 from him today than $1,000 down, and you're going to kind of transfer stuff over time. Protect yourself. An installment sale is much better.
Let me say this. Of the 999 pieces of advice that I've gotten from family and friends, you make it 1,000 that said the very same thing, and they're not even as smart as you are.
Oh, so you called me to reconfirm what everybody else in your life is telling you, which is, Dee Dee, watch out.
I really didn't know how to go about this, you know.
All right.
I really did not. And then when I started thinking, well, what you do is when you go in, you sign two.
Yeah, but the two deeds isn't...
Have them sign one that kicks back to you in a quick claim deed.
Okay, but that's not maybe so legal. So what I'm telling you, sweetie, is the legal way, which is an installment sale. You have the attorney draw it up. You don't transfer over the deed until he's paid you in full. It's a much safer, better way to go. And honestly, Dee Dee, you are such a nice lady. I want to make sure you are protected from the ground up. All right? 50 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glang. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
You are my love and my life. You are my inspiration.
Welcome back. back, everybody, to the Elyse Glink Show. So glad you could join us here on News Talk WSB, 404-872-0750. Don't forget to go to Amazon if you are interested in buying investment real estate. Check out my 5 ebooks on investing in real estate, and you can just get, for the low, low price of $2.99, amazing, amazing information. Scott joins us on the line from Loganville. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Elyse. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Well, I'm curious to know what my next step would be. I've tried to refinance my home. I'm in Gwinnett County in Loganville. It's a Freddie Mac loan that I purchased a home brand new in 2004. On an ARM, I refinanced in 2007 out of the ARM with a 30-year fixed at 7%. I have a credit score in about 770s, and every time I try to refi, I'm told I should qualify for the HARP program, but I'm so far underwater, instead of up to 150%, I would need about 200%.
Ooh.
And I don't know what to do. My question to you would be, do I have any leverage to go to the existing mortgage holder who's had it since I've owned the house for 8 years and push them to, based on my good credit and good pay history and the relationship we've had for 8 years, could they at least modify the interest rate a little bit better for me? From 7 maybe down to 4.5 or 5?
You can ask. Did you apply for a loan modification?
I called the lender last year, and basically I was told if I wasn't behind 3 months, there was nothing they could do.
Yeah, that's what they said, although that is not the actual requirement, and that may have changed.
Okay.
So why don't you start by calling them and sort of saying, hey, you guys going to modify this loan or what? Because I'm a little stuck here.
That's kind of my position.
And then,
you want the worst, them or me.
If not, you can. HARP is being modified again. I don't know about the 150% being sort of the maximum that they're doing. But
and there are some lenders I have heard through the lending company that was trying to do my refinance that some banks, I'll say, for example, I think Wells Fargo, if you were an existing Wells Fargo, they were doing unlimited.
Right. And so you can, I would start with a loan modification.
Okay.
But don't accept a lower, until they actually give you the final paperwork, don't start, you know, paying below, because that's just going to mark you as late, and you don't want to be late.
Exactly.
Then, right. So then you're going to go from there into a HARP refinance. And it's different parts of the bank. And you may be able to do both at once. I would just keep moving forward. Don't allow yourself to be stuck over this. There are a lot of people in your shoes. They're going to catch up. Music's here, guys, so I got to go. Scott, thank you so much for your call. 58 minutes past the hour. My thanks to Crystal and to Ellen for a fabulous show. Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you, everybody, next week. Have a great week, everybody. Feet hit the floor, baby.